Okay. So Gene read to us the Lord's Prayer there in Matthew chapter 6. And we just briefly went over chapter 5 through 8 then. And then Jesus then says to his disciples in verse 9, "This then is how you should pray." The point isn't that we memorize it, although if you've been in church long enough, even if you haven't been in church for very long, lots of people know this prayer. So it isn't the words themselves, but the structure, what's going on around the words and what Jesus is saying through the words that we need to understand. And so we want to start with where Jesus starts, which is the praise of God. And so the song we sang and the songs we're going to sing along the way here are going to help bring home these points that we're talking about. So we start with God, and He alone is our Father. He is the one that we call Father. We should declare His greatness. It says, "Our Father in heaven, how hallowed be Your name. How awesome is Your name." So when we declare His greatness, the more we more we get to know His character. The more we spend recognizing who we are talking to, the less we are concerned with our other stuff. When we understand that God is the God who created the universe, we can be confident then. In our prayer, the prayer that comes after that, we can know what it is who it is we are praying to. The more we embrace that, the more we talk about that, the more we understand that, we understand that what comes after that is really not as important as the stuff that we are saying about His holiness and about who He is. Now, we don't spend much time here. Most of us, when we pray, I would admit that is about me, that spending time talking about God's greatness is good, but most of us are in a hurry to get on to the important, the things that we find important. So we must, though, then spend time here. It reminds us of the context in which we live. It reminds us that God is in control. Really, this is a spiritual discipline, this idea of meditating and remembering who God is. We really need to keep this in mind because it's really easy to skip over. It's, "Dear God, help me with my day. You know, I've got XYZ person to talk to," or "we're going into a stressful situation." It isn't, "God, you are holy. God, you are awesome." It's, no, it's, "God, I'm in a stressful situation. Help me." We don't spend as much time as we need to. But Jesus starts there. Jesus starts there telling us His name is great. We must declare that. We must remember that. It's this in this area that God's promises come alive. If He isn't great, if He isn't all-powerful, if He isn't who the God who the Bible says He is, then all the promises that come after all of this really are immaterial. And we really could spend a long time there because I have been guilty of having a small view of God. It's very easy to have a small view of God. Because when I brush over His greatness and brush over who He is and thinking and how I pray to Him and only worry about my stuff and thinking about my stuff, who He is becomes smaller and smaller and smaller. We can pray that God is our provider, our protector, our healer, our giver. All of these things are good, and we should pray about those, and those things will come next. But we should start with God. So, that's where we want to start. We want to start with that piece of prayer. We're going to spend a couple of minutes now. We got time in our schedule today to be in prayer with each other. If you'd like to stand up and go find somebody, you want to sit where you are, I'm sure nobody's going to stand up and nobody's going to move. Because everybody's like, "We don't do this, and this is weird." But I think it would be encouraging. And you don't have to pray with the same person each time. You can mix it up and do whatever you would like. But we want to spend a few minutes praising God. Praise Him for what He has done. Praise Him for who He is. Maybe praise Him for what He's done in your life. Thank Him for what has gone on. Maybe there's a healing. Maybe there's some provision. How He has created. We should spend some time doing that. So, let's do that now. I'm going to start us off with a word of prayer, a very small one. If you want to stand up and you want to mix around, then you can do that. If you would like to sit where you are, then stay seated. The people that stand up, maybe they won't come bother you. Maybe. But maybe God moves in their heart. They want to come bother you. We'll see. So let's pray. And if you would like to move and mingle, stand up while we're praying. If you'd like to not, stay where you are. Father, we just thank you for this time. We again want to praise you for who you are. And God, as we stand and as we pray and as we talk to you today, we would remember who you are. We thank you for how great you are. God, please help us see truly how big you are. Please don't let us stick you into a small little space in our lives, because you are not small and you belong in all spaces, not in just one. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So, let's pray. Let's mix up for a few minutes and then I'll come back and close us in prayer and then we'll move on to the next spot. So we're going to wrap up this part here. We'll close in this part right here. Father, we thank you again for your mighty power. God, you had your son Jesus teach us how to pray, and you started here. We could spend the day here praising you for who you are and what you have done. Praise you for your provision, for your healing. God, we thank you for what you've done in our midst. Amen. So before we move on, does anybody want to share what God has done? How He provides, how big He is? You might want to share any word they might have received in that moment. Something they want to praise God for. Just out loud, one or two words. You don't have to preach, I promise.
Praise God for being at work in His service.
Amen. Okay, thank you. Yes, sir. Amen. So praise for healing and lots of different internal organs. If you have too many more taken out, my friend, you will not have any left. We praise God that you've been healed of the ones you've that is so far. Thank you. That's good. Anybody else? Amen. That we have a purpose. It's a good segue to the next thing. So does anybody else have one? I'm going to ruin my segue. Anybody else? Okay. So verse 10. In Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to totally forget the order of today, so I better grab this. See? It's a good thing I did. So before we move on then, and we see verse 10, we talks about the kingdom come. We're going to sing together about that. So the worship team is going to lead us now. Says, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And this, I think, is the point, the very crux of the whole prayer that Jesus is praying. We talked about that last week when we talked about why do we pray. I mean, this is it right here. That your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Whatever the answer to my prayer is, whatever it might be, let your kingdom be in the midst of that. Let your kingdom be first. It's about your agenda, not my agenda. It's your agenda for my family, your agenda for my life, your agenda for my finances, your agenda for my marriage, my kids, my job, my neighborhood, my community. Let your agenda become my agenda. It's not just you force your agenda on me. It's that your agenda becomes my agenda. That I be fully surrendered to your will before my own. I want your will for me before my own will. I want my will to become your will. Jesus prayed the same prayer we read last week in the garden. Not my will. Let my will be your will. Our will. Now, how long does it take us to pray a prayer like this? Really depends on where we are in our walk with Jesus. I mean, we are praying God's kingdom down from heaven to earth. It requires us to put Him first. It requires us to live out what we know to be God's will. And I think that is where it becomes the rubber meets the road, is that we begin to live out His will. We can pray, let your kingdom come, let your will be done. But if we're not willing to live that out, then we really don't mean the prayer. We're praying what we read in Scripture, what we learn about Jesus, how He tells us we should be walking through this life and through this world. We're praying that those things become true about us. And we can't skip over this part. I mean, this is the point. This is the crux of the whole thing. This is where life change happens. We talked about that last week, where we're letting God's will be done. That is where transformation happens. That God transforms your mind and your hearts. Not my will, but your will. So as we pray about this, how do you pray about this? Maybe God's already spoken to you. Maybe there's something very specific that God has said, I want you to go do this because it's my will and I want it to be your will too, and I want you to go and do that. I don't know what that is for you. Serving somewhere in the community. Doing something with your family. Saying something to someone that needs to hear stuff from you. I don't know what it is. But we're going to now pause and pray. We want to pray for God's will in heaven to be down on earth and we're going to pray about evil in a little while, but this world is full of that, and we want God's kingdom now because that is the antithesis to that evil. We want that now. We can pray about that in big, huge, bold things, but pray very specifically. God, what is your will for me in my life? And then how does that connect to the people I'm praying with, or connect to the people I'm sitting in this room with, or connect to the people I live with in my home? How does that connect to each other? So we're going to pray that now. So if you want to get back in your groups, you can get back in your groups. You can pray by yourself. Go find a different group. However you want to do that, I'll pray, and we'll briefly, and then we'll go into that together. Father, your Scripture says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Father, I know you do not need us for your will to be enforced on this earth, but you choose us as the people who walk through this world in your will, that it might become what you will. And so today we pray that. We pray that you use us. And now as we pray very specifically, where do you want us to be used, and how do you want us to be a part of your will coming down from heaven and that being done on earth? Amen. So let's pray together now, if you'd like to pray. Again, for your greatness, we do pray that your kingdom would become what it needs to be here on earth. God, we pray for it soon. It would reach its fulfillment. But while we wait, We pray that we would be the embodiment of your kingdom in all places, at all times, in all things, in all aspects, in aspects, in every small little place in our lives, God, that you would be the king there. That you would reign in every aspect. That we wouldn't stick you off in some corner. That your kingdom, your will be done on earth, in our lives, and in all places as it is in heaven. Amen. So we are going to then go into the section where we often start. The band's going to lead us in a song on provision. Is that right? No. I need it like in blocks. There's too many words there. So we're not going to do that. We're going to do that at the end. So it's my turn again. So this is a point where we get when we actually pray, right? This is the part where we want provision. We want things. We need stuff. Things are going on. Things are going crazy. I need help. I need whatever is going on. Give us. Those are the words Jesus uses, right? Give us today our daily bread. Give us what we need. Give us provision. Now, we should ask those things. It is very important for us to ask those things. But we ask as a declaration of our dependence on God, not in some kind of genie that we rub the lamp and poof, we get what we need. We watched the Aladdin 2 days ago with the kids. I watched, and Patrick was very fascinated with the genie. This idea that you could rub the lamp and poof, there was this guy popping out. He thought it was quite interesting. But that is not who God is. So this part of the prayer comes, excuse me, after we acknowledge who God is and how we are to be surrendered to His will, then it comes, the give us part. This is important stuff. It's not important, not more important though, than God's praise, our surrender, and our transformation. But we ask with understanding of who God is and our dependence upon Him. I mean, these words that Jesus put in here imply something. I like what He says. He says, give us today our daily bread. This implies that tomorrow I'll need to pray this prayer again. I don't get ahead of Jesus because this runs the risk that I believe that I'm the one that is providing. I mean, this is the danger that Jesus talked about in the Gospels. I think it's Matthew 22, and there's one place in Luke, I think, where He tells a story about people who have lots of things and they struggle with this idea of following and being a part of God's kingdom. I mean, rich people, He calls them. Rich people struggle with this. When you believe you are the one providing, you run the risk of forgetting who truly is the provider. So Jesus says, pray daily for your bread, for the things you need. Don't pray for it for next week. Don't pray for it for 6 years from now. Pray for your food daily. And that is a very different way of thinking than the way we think. And you may not feel like you are rich. I don't feel like I am rich. But we are very wealthy people. And I'm not trying to say we need to be down on America and all the coming. It's not that. We have lots of things. And the culture we've grown up in and how we've been raised and how we see things, even if we are in a bad place right now, we have lots of things. And it becomes very difficult for us to remember sometimes that God is our provider. I mean, the basis of Christianity is that we are desperately in need of Jesus to provide. He talks about that when Jesus, in His story, says at the very end, it is very difficult for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And does that mean that having money is bad? Absolutely not. Does that mean that wealthy people can't go to heaven? It doesn't mean that. Matter of fact, some of the Jesus disciples were wealthy. But we need to remember that all things come from God at all times. So then we pray and thank Him for our daily needs and the daily things that He gives us. So that's how He asks us to pray. Give us today our daily bread. So we're going to pray now again. How does God provide? What has God provided? Maybe God's provided for something for you in a miraculous way. What do you need to thank Him for? And do you remember to pray daily for what you need? Do we do that? So I'm going to pray. We're going to break up into groups again. You're welcome to do that. And then the band will end this little section with the song there that I thought was at the beginning. So let's pray together here. Father, we thank You for all the things that You provide for us. Today we pray for our provision, for our bread. Father, I pray that we remember in the midst of our hurriedness, in the midst of running to go get this, that, and the other, that we don't forget that we are not the providers. We were born into the family we were born into because of You. We were born into the country in which we live because of You. We have the things that we have because of You. Even if I don't have to go out and fight or kill for my food tomorrow, God, remind me that You provided it. That I should be dependent upon You for all things. And I don't get myself into a place where I believe I'm the provider. We pray this in Jesus' name. All right, so let's pray together now. And then we'll come back together in a second. God, give us this day our daily bread. Provide for us what we need. Continually remind us that You are our provider. And God, that our hearts would change about the things we have. And we would see all of them as something in Your service as we serve You. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 12. And forgive us our debts. Some of your versions may say trespasses. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Pardon me of my sin. Forgive me of my debt, so I can pardon those who've sinned against me. Confession of sin is always a difficult thing. But confession and forgiveness go hand in hand. We know we are forgiven when we acknowledge the fact that we know we have sinned. If you don't believe you have sinned, if you don't believe there's anything wrong with you, you think you've got your stuff together and things are okay, then you don't believe you're in need of being forgiven. So we need to confess our sins. So in verse 12 he says we should forgive us our debts. He asks for forgiveness. But then he also talks about how we should then forgive others. And honestly, that's a really more difficult point in this process. Some forgiveness is more difficult than other forgiveness. Some people have wronged us in a pretty bad way. And asking for forgiveness is a very difficult thing. And it's not an easy thing to do. And maybe you're there. Maybe you're at a place where it's hard to forgive something someone has done. But as we pray through this process and we pray this prayer, and if this idea of God, as I come to confess to You my sin and I confess my sin to you, that you would remind me on a daily basis of those places that I should be forgiving others. I mean, this daily confession reminds us of that, that we are in need of forgiveness and that those other people in our lives are also in need of forgiveness from us and from God. Now, that's not always easy. And I know some people come to forgiveness a lot slower than others. It doesn't mean you're bad or it's wrong. It's just maybe the pain is an exceptionally difficult one. But this idea of transformation really folds into this idea of confession very well. That if we are being renewed on a daily basis, that if God says to us that we can be transformed, that even in a place where we have lots of pain, we can be transformed. That we ask for forgiveness, and then we then extend forgiveness. And Jesus talks about forgiveness quite a bit. He tells quite a few parables about it. One specifically, he talks about a man who is forgiven quite a big debt by the king. And then he goes and finds a friend who has a very much smaller debt and is unwilling to forgive that debt. And then the king finds out and is like, you totally missed the point. How about you go spend some time in jail while you think about it? So Jesus tells this parable, this story, to illustrate this idea that confession and forgiveness of our own sin should then have its path, and it should lead us to a place where we can also then see the place that we need to forgive others. Matter of fact, Jesus also told another story about how if we come to the altar and we worship, and we find ourselves there, we're about to worship, and he's telling a story whenever they're talking, that when they used to worship with animals, and they would bring an offering, and the animal would be butchered there. And before you even put this worship thing down, and go get right with your brother. Because being right with your brother is way more important than this thing that you're about to put on the altar. Isn't that interesting? I mean, we start off with prayer, praising God. We must remember that God is first. We must remember that. But when he says, when it comes to our worship, what's more important? Not having junk with your brother or worshiping God? He says, not having your junk with your brothers more important to resolve than this. It almost seems backwards, doesn't it? He says, come praise me first. But you really can't praise me if you're so angry at someone else or so bitter with someone else. It's a very difficult place to be. So, in this prayer of transformation, this idea of being transformed, as we pray on a daily basis, every day, how do I confess my sin? And God, show me where I should be right with my brothers and my sisters. So we're going to do that now. Confession and prayer and forgiveness is always not always an easy thing. If you don't want to get up and go pray with somebody, that's fine. You're welcome to pray alone. If you feel like you need to go talk to someone, please go do that. But as we pray, we're going to pray this prayer together. We're going to spend a few minutes praying about confession and forgiveness. So let's pray. God, we thank you that you've showed us in multiple places in your scriptures about what it means to forgive, what it means to be forgiven. We praise you that your Son Jesus made a way with his sacrifice so that we can come to you, confess our sin, be made clean, and you do not even remember what it was that we did. That you are that powerful, the all-powerful God can forget. You can forget our sin. God, I pray, I know that forgetting our own sin is a very difficult thing to do. That we get bogged down in it, we get stuck in it. And God, I pray that a daily understanding, confessing our sin to you, will keep us from getting stuck. That we know that we are forgiven. And God, also I pray that we would remember where it is that we are to also forgive. That we would not forget our brothers and our sisters. That we would not be like that man in the story that Jesus told. That we know we are forgiven, but have no capacity to extend forgiveness. Give us the strength to extend forgiveness to others, even in very difficult situations. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's spend a few minutes now in time of prayer and forgiveness and confession. Can come to you and confess and have you and just know that you have forgiven our sin. Father, we thank you for your forgiveness. We praise your Son Jesus today for that. Amen. Okay, so the last part here, verse 13. And lead us not into temptation, deliver us from the evil one. So we pray a prayer of protection for ourselves. Jesus prayed for Peter in Luke chapter 22. This is what Jesus prayed right before Jesus is arrested and all the things. This is what Jesus says to Peter. He says, Simon, Simon, is his other name. Satan has asked to sift all of you as wheat. But I have prayed for you, Simon, that your faith may not fail. And when you have turned back, strengthen your brothers. So even Jesus was praying for his disciples in that moment. He says, Satan is asked to sift you like wheat. Remove the bad stuff with the good stuff. And they sifted wheat, they would do that. And he wanted to get rid of Peter. Jesus prayed and said, I prayed for you. I prayed for your protection because the evil one is coming. He's coming for you. This is this daily prayer we should have, that we not be sifted. And if you look at the disciples, I mean, all of them scattered at the last moment when Jesus was arrested. Even Peter. And if you read the rest of that passage, he goes on and Peter says, hey, I'm not going anywhere. I'll go to jail for you. I'll die for you. I'll do whatever it takes. And Jesus says, that's nice, but let me tell you what's really going to happen. And it happened. Peter was sifted. But Peter came back. He says, when you come back, strengthen your brothers. Peter came back. Judas did not. They were both sifted. So we pray as the evil one comes that we would not be led into temptation, that we would be delivered. So we should pray for ourselves. We should also pray for each other. I was reading this last week just about all of the atrocities that are happening all over the world, and Iraq, the stuff in Iraq has caused even more understanding of Christians being persecuted, and it's happened forever, and it's happened a lot, and it's never stopped happening. It's just now, since America is so heavily involved in Iraq, it's now coming on our television screens more often. But we so often don't know what to do about that. But Paul wrote in Corinthians about that. He wrote a letter to his brothers and sisters in Corinth. And this is what he said about trouble that was going to happen and what we should be doing about it. It says, we do not, this is 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 11. It says, we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about the troubles we've experienced in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt we had received the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us again. On Him we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us. As you help us by your prayers, then many will then give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in prayer, in answer to the prayers of many. So Paul asked for prayer from his brothers and sisters that as the evil came, they would not be sifted. That they would not be counted as being faithful. And there are lots of difficult things in this world. And there are lots of things that can be done. But I'm not in Iraq and I'm not there. I can send money to help, possibly. But we need to be in prayer for them. They need, hopefully, one day, if we need it, they'll be in prayer for us. That one day, that we will all find favor because it's granted to us, because so many people's prayers have been answered. So there are believers all over the world in difficult places. We need to pray for them. We need to pray for each other that we not be sifted, that we persevere through persecution, that we will continue to glorify God's name even in dangerous circumstances. So we need to pray for that now, and we're going to do that. So we're going to spend a few minutes in prayer. Pray for yourself. Where is Satan trying to sift you? Pray for each other in this room. And then do not forget our brothers and sisters who speak another language, who live in a different place, who have been driven from their homes. Because they need it. They need it just as bad as we do. So let's pray. God, we pray that we would not be sifted, be led into temptation, that we would be delivered from the evil one. God, as we pray right now, we would pray that we would remember where it is that we could be led astray, and we pray for those who need prayer, even the ones we don't know by name or even by sight or even know where they are. God, we pray for them too. Let's pray together. We thank you that you have called us, each person in this room, to follow after you. God, I pray that you would show us where we might be tempted. We might be sifted. Give us the strength. Give us the strength to act and continue to pray. And God, I pray that we would continue to grow in our understanding and our strength and understanding of prayer, that this actually does something. That it is truly transformative. That it is changing us. And God, if enough of us pray, enough of us are transformed, that the world will be transformed. For our brothers and sisters in other countries who are dying or are malnourished or are hurting or misplaced or moved or whatever has happened to them because of their faith, simply because they follow after you. God, we pray for them. We pray for courage for them. We pray for provision for them. God, show us if there's a place for us to act that we wouldn't just pray, we would act. But those people that are around them, that they would also act. For those of us, those in our community who find themselves in a place that they're struggling or are not having what they need, that we wouldn't just look at them and pray, but we would pray and see a way to act. Transform us, Jesus. Amen. So, Jim just handed me a piece of paper. One had given out to their class. One G had given out to their class. And this little passage is written at the bottom. And this is our prayer for you as you go. The light of God surrounds me. The love of God enfolds me. The power of God protects me. The presence of God watches over me. Wherever I am, God is. God bless you. Have a good week.